Good evening, friends, and how are you doing tonight? Welcome to this beautiful time spent, or that we have spent, in the presence of God as we glean from the truth of God's word. I'd like you to open your Bible to the book of Lamentations, chapter 3. The Bible says in Lamentations, chapter 3, the Bible says in the New King James Version, says, "Who is he who speaks, and it comes to pass when the Lord has not commanded it?" So from here, we understand the word, if God speaks, it must come to pass. Or rather, if God speaks, it should come to pass. So if it's not coming to pass, their assumption is that God did not say it. However, that is not all about it. It could also be the word, man did not know what to do with the word for that word to come to pass. Because the Bible says a word, they heard the same word, but that word, which was in itself potent to produce result, did not word mix with faith in their hearts, and therefore did not produce result. We also saw that the Bible talks about certain people, when Jesus was talking about a different kind of hearts, talked about the fact the word, some hearts receive, even the good heart, receive in 30s, in 60s, and in 100s. Now, the implication of that is that even with the good heart, there are levels in the results produced from the word. So that takes us away from dealing with the validity of what God says. So we know that the problem is not with God. We know that a problem could be, if it's not with God, that it could be with receiving. So it is not at the sending hand. The challenge is at the receiving hand. Now, I want to go through a process that brings the word of God to pass. And you are going to see that Jesus taught this. And this is how Jesus, in his teachings, expected people to get results through prayer, particularly through the word of God. Now, this prayer, the one I'm teaching tonight, you could call it a type of a prayer or a type of meditative prayer. From scriptures, we understand the fact, the word, there is intercession, there is supplication, there is prayer. The Bible says the word first of all, the let word prayers, okay? It says, first of all, let prayers be made word for the saint. Now, it then talks about different levels of prayer in that scripture, in the book of 1 Timothy. So we see there from that same scripture, that we could see God talking about, through the apostle, talk about supplications, talk about prayers, talk about intercessions and giving of thanks. So there are prayers, okay? Now, but tonight I'm teaching on a type of prayer, technically, that brings that word that God has said to pass in order for us to begin to get results. Now, this kind of prayer is different from confession, as we have taught it in this house. That is, you receiving the word, agreeing with the word, you believing the word, and you confessing the word as though things that were. It is completely different from that. However, it is related to that. It works with that and produce results. It produced results working with that process of confessions. And trust me, Jesus taught this, and Jesus got it across to the people. Now, this is the kind of prayer, like I said, is different. This is the kind of prayer you have described, that the kind of prayer that Jesus really was, the kind of man that Jesus talked about in Psalms chapter 1. This is the kind of prayer that is attached to such a person. Now, you're also going to find this prayer, this kind of prayer, in the book of Isaiah 55. Okay, you're going to find this process in Isaiah 55. Remember in verse 6, the Bible says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon me while he's near." It says, "Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." It now says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts." What I'm thinking, you're not thinking. "Neither are your ways my ways, said the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." So there is a kind of prayer that word brings the thoughts of God into reality that really helps a man not just capture the thought, but give full effect to the thoughts of God upon the face of the heart and get results. But let's go to the book of Psalms chapter 1. Psalms chapter 1. And I'm going to be teaching from the King James Version today. Now it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." It says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his Lord that he meditate day and night. And this man shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaves shall also not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Then verse 4, it says the word, "The ungodly are not so." So we understand the fact that word, there is a kind of man, and this is the man who operates with a certain thought, and it is that process that makes that man different from the ungodly that we want to talk about tonight. But what you find in that scripture, the Bible gives a description of that man. First, we see the word, "This man brings forth fruits in his season." Two, we see the word, "This man's leaves shall not wither." And three, we see that word, "Whatsoever the man does, prospers." Whatsoever the man does, prosper. So I want to go through this process together tonight in a few minutes and see this operation. Now, the first thing we see that the Bible says the word, "This man brings forth fruits in his season." Now, what does this mean? From here, we understand the fact the word, the Bible says the word, says the word that summer and winter shall not cease, night and day shall not cease. So as far as we're concerned, as far as humanity is concerned and nature is concerned, it means the word seasons change. But the Bible says the word, there is a man who operates within this changing seasons. Who brings forth, what our scripture really means, the word, it brings forth fruits in every season. That means the word, seasons externally may change, but this person produces fruits, okay? That is, fruits are operations of the divine. That is, this person succeed even if the seasons are changing. So the economy doesn't affect them. The government doesn't affect them. There is an operation that does not affect those people on the external side. So there is something that does not affect this man or this kind of man. So irrespective of the seasons, this man does not have a change in experience. And the reason for this is this man is very fluid with God. And the word is secret, is the word, he knows what God is doing. He has a knowledge of what God is doing by time. And he knows what God expects him to do. So this kind of man is deeply rooted in God, but he is very flexible and he is not waiting for external results, okay? Because they are fluid with God. That is the kind of man the Bible says, the sun shall no longer be your light, neither shall the moon be your light. Meaning the word, you are not governed by externalities. But then this man is fluid with God. Today he might be in tech. Tomorrow he is fluid with God and has moved to law. Okay? Now this is why many people do not bring forth fruit in their season, because they are dogmatic, they are stuck about word, what they have always had unto. So God moves here, they don't move. God moves here, they don't move. So, and yet the Bible says the word, while God was leading the children of Israel, it did say the word, if I move you this day, if I stay here 2 days, you move with me. If it's 1 year, you move. 3 days, you move. So we don't lose out of season. We don't get out of seasons. Okay? Based on that, this is the kind of man, because they are fluid with God and they are catching up on the thoughts of God per time without any dogma. So, but then importantly, what makes this man brings forth fruit in his season is the word, this man within his heart has positioned himself in his relationship with God and man. That word is going to be a tool for God to minister or to meet the needs of the people around him. So we are talking about an appropriate person for people to talk to or meet in every season of their lives. But this is a person whose heart disposition is that I am going to offer myself as a living sacrifice to God. As far as my environment is concerned, the people around me are concerned, whether it's resources, whether it's wisdom, whether it's relationship, but this person is a people person. The approach is a people-dependent approach. They see themselves as word channels for God to operate within their own selves. Are you following now? So your attitude, okay, is the word when God wants to show himself, manifest himself, help people, do things for anyone in my community, your heart disposition, the heart disposition of this kind of man is the word, he is a tool for God. That is first the heart disposition, because this is how the man stays in every season part time. Now, if you go to the book of Hebrews chapter 6, now, this is the kind of man the Bible describes in Hebrews chapter 6. If you please open to Hebrews chapter 6. If you open to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 7. Let's go there. Hebrews chapter 6. And verse 7. Now, the Bible says in Hebrews 6, 7. Let's go there. The Bible says that, I'm reading from King James Version today. It says here, it says the word, for the earth drinketh in the rain that cometh often upon it. Or let's read from something simplified. It says the word, let's read from NLT. It says, when the ground soaks up the falling rain and bears a good crop for the farmer, it has God's blessing. Meaning the word, the kind of man that has God's blessing is the kind of man whose attitude is to be a recipient of everything God offers, not because of himself and his family alone, but because of the people around him. Now, if you go further to verse 8, you're going to see another kind of man. It says the word, but land that produces thorns, okay, and thistles is worthless, and its curse is imminent, in the end it will be burned. That is, when a man is attitude is the word, it is all about me. And when it is not about him, it is about thorns and thistles. Thorns and thistles there signifies oppression. So that man who has in his heart, okay, that man who has in his heart, that word, if God blesses me, I am going to oppress. They may not even say, I will show them. I will show them, they will hear it. Ah, what they will see. Okay? So the man is not just selfish, but then he bears thorns. He bears oppression. And because he bears oppression, what you find is the word, this man is worth, this man is worthless. The Bible calls the word, is worthless. Meaning word, he does not have the blessing of God. So that is the first thing. Now, the Bible now says the word, this kind of man, his leaves shall not wither. That is word. What does it mean, not wither? It means no form of deterioration in this person's life, irrespective of the season of life. They never deteriorate. Their leaves do not wither. The leaves are the externalities from a plant. That means that, well, when you look at their lives at every season of time, they are those who live above spiritual death. They live above deterioration. Irrespective of the season, they are outward manifestations of the divine in their lives. Now, we then see that word, the third thing the Bible says, the word, whatsoever this man doeth, it prospers. It means the word, you succeed at anything that you do. But not just because you are good, you are kind, but simply because you are word, the kind of man who has a people-dependent approach to life. So based on that, God supervises that you are always watered because you have positioned yourself as a tool for him to reach you, no selfishness. So God finds you as a channel, and you find the word where you are praying for example, you're a man is praying for a job. God sees that kind of person and says, this kind of person cannot just have a job. This kind of person must need to be able to create jobs because we have sent someone on the earth through which we can review certain things. Do you follow now? So this is the attitude. Now, but what really makes the person prosper is the word. The root cause of this is the word. This man delights in the law of God and is connected to the rivers of water. And the Bible makes us understand the book of Luke chapter 4. It says that in Mark chapter 4, that we understand the fact that Jesus said the word, if any man word drinks of me, he shall not thirst again. So we understand the fact that what out of him shall flow for the rivers of living water. And what is there is river. It is what is the spirit of God. So this man is connected to the rivers of water. So this kind of man that we're talking about here, your response is what the Spirit of God asks you to do part time. You are not care. You don't care about what externals say, but you are so concerned about what the Spirit of God asks you to do. I follow now. So these are first the conditions we must satisfy before we begin to move into what I'm really teaching tonight. So this is the kind of man that can operate in what I want to talk about tonight. Because this is the kind of man who operates in what the, if you read the Hebrew rendition of this thing, this man will be, this is how we put it, this man will be like another Eden. That's what our scripture means. This man will be another Eden. And when the Bible says the word, it bears fruit in a season, in every season, it means the word, there is something new in the life of that person every month. There is something new in the life of that person every single month. So this is a man who is whose life is like Eden. That is what about his life is the word. His life is the word. His life is like Eden. Now, so how does this process work? Now, this man, remember, is connected to the flow of life. Very connected to the flow of life. So based on that, this man is constantly receiving the thoughts of God. That his word is constantly receiving what the Lord has said in every situation of his life, because he has a people-centered approach. Secondly, his leaves does not wither. And then word, he is connected to the source, which is the Spirit of God. And he fights everything that fights the oppression and the fluidity and the liberty of the Spirit of God within him. Are you following now? So how does this process work? That is what I want to talk about tonight. Okay? It is this process that I want to talk about this evening. Now, first thing I need you to understand is the word. When you're praying this kind of prayer, it's not a prayer per se, but it's a process of translating the thoughts of God to realities. So the first thing you want to identify is, well, this process is all about word, contemplating the things and being able to conceive and see the picture of those things in their hearts, in your hearts. That's why you find that word, whenever Jesus was teaching, he would say the kingdom is like, the kingdom is like. What he was really trying to do was to get the image of what he's talking about in the hearts of the people. And as long as he's able to get the image on the hearts of the people, this thing will happen. As long as he's able to get the very image on the hearts of the people, he knew the word, as long as the image can get into their heart, this thing will perform the purpose. But then it will not just get there with words. It is going to get there through pictures, through imaginations. So this process entails a contemplation of things. And it entails you reflecting as you repeat and speaking the scriptures according to the word that has been spoken to you. So you know how to get a judgment. But it is about word contemplating the things and being able to reflect on those things that you have received from God. And trust me, when you start this process, usually it comes at the weak point. These revelations come at your weakest point, when you're not even expecting, when you're probably dying in court, at the dead end of situations. Beyond that, it regularly occurs, at those dead end of situations. And it may not come in a spectacular way. It may come in that still small voice. But it is that word that you receive from God. And it is not what everybody said. Let me say this here at this point. If you are praying about something and the revelation you receive, the rhema, when people say rhema, if the rhema you receive is what everybody receives when they pray for that thing, there's a very highest chance that you have not heard God. Let me repeat that. If the rhema you receive is the same scripture that everybody quotes for that situation, let's say you are sick, and the revelation you receive that word by his stripes you are healed, there's a very high chance that you have not heard God. Why? When the woman with the issue of blood heard God had a revelation, it was not something common. No one had in fact heard of it. And when she touched him, Jesus said, listen, somebody has touched me. When Job had a revelation of God, Job said in the book of Job 42, he says, my ears, I have heard thee by the hearing of the ear. Meaning what? I've heard the many scriptures people quoted. The same way you've heard the many scriptures people quoted about health. You've heard the many scriptures people quote about money. So you have heard many scriptures. Okay? But Job said the word, I've heard thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Now, the moment his eyes saw him, his eyes saw God, what happened is that what there was transformation, genuine transformation, real transformation. So if you, and the day you receive the revelation of God, something shifts inside you. In fact, the day you receive the revelation of God, you will be joyful. I can tell you, you will be joyful. You will be at peace and you will know this matter is settled and your countenance will change. It's like you sitting down right now, let's say we're in an auditorium and you receive an alert of 55 or 55 million naira. If you receive an account of 55 million naira, we all did not receive it. You received it. While we are all there, there's going to be a smile on your face. You have not seen the money, but you received the alert. You are going to smile right there. And the way you're going to greet every one of us in that service while we are all saying goodbye is going to be different because you have received something. In fact, the way you are going to jump out, in other words, to go to the ATM stand will be different. You will be very hasty. Why? Because you have received what the promise for that which word you were expecting. You get it now? So if what you are still receiving, there's a very high chance. That word, if it's the common scripture, there's a very high chance. The word that you have not heard God. Now, so you contemplate is about contemplating things and reflecting as one repeats. You are contemplating as you repeat and speak scriptures according to the word that has been spoken to you. And I'm not saying compulsorily. You will most likely have your eyes shut. Most likely. Most likely you will have your eyes shut. So it's not just the speaking, the confessions that we're commonly used to, is the very thoughtful process. It's a thoughtful process. Now, the goal is to get what God said into your heart. That is the first thing. So that goal is a speaking process that engages your thoughts and every ability of your imagination. Now, the second thing, I want you to open to the book of Isaiah 59. Let's go to Isaiah 59. So that's the first one there. Isaiah chapter 59. Let's open to Isaiah chapter 59. I'd like us to open verse 21. I'm going to read from Isaiah 51, verse 59. Now, I'm going to read from verse 20. It says, "And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, said the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, said the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words," please follow me, emphasis on 21. So we see 20 that he had been redeemed. Okay? And they have been turned word, "and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, said the Lord." So they have been redeemed, they've been corrected, they have been redeemed. They went through situations, God showed them the adjustments, and they received the revelation of God. Now it says in verse 21, it says, "As for me, this is my covenant with them, said the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth." Okay, so listen, let me just pause here. If it's going to get into your heart, let's see, if you're going to produce anything to God, you have to get into your heart. And it cannot get to your heart without getting through your mouth. Let me repeat that. If you're going to get anything from God, it cannot get to your heart without getting to your mouth. If it does not get to your heart, it cannot produce. So confessions are not word optional. If it is going to get into your life, it will get to your mouth. If it's going to get to your mouth, it is going to get to your heart. There is no way. Now it says, "Word, the words which I put in thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth." Something similar to what it told Joshua. It says, "Nor out of the mouth of thy seed." "Nor out of the mouth of thy seed. Saith the Lord from henceforth and forever." Now read verse 60. So it says, "Arise and shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee, and the Gentiles shall come to the light, and kings to the brightness of their rising." Now, don't forget, the Bible was not written with chapters, so it is a continuation from 59. So the man who will experience what you have in verse 60 going forward is Word, the man who understands what is happening in Isaiah 59, 21. So you see that, you see the mouth of God and your own mouth. I repeat, you see the mouth of God, which is what God communicates, as God said. You see the mouth of God. Let me repeat that. You see the mouth of God, and then you see your own mouth. Now, why did I say it is virtually impossible for you not to get your mouth involved? If you go to the book of Romans chapter 8, if you go to Romans chapter 8, sorry, Romans chapter 10, go to Romans chapter 10. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, the Bible says here, it says, "But word saith thee, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart." So your salvation is close to you. But your salvation is word is when you put it in your mouth and then it enters your heart. So I repeat, I'm speaking to someone, your salvation is already near to you because God has already given it to you. Now, even in your mouth and then in your heart. The problem is that word you are not speaking. So it's not getting into your heart. You see, that is a word of faith which you preach. It says, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt believe in thy heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." So if you believe in the fact that word, based on what Jesus did, that word, he died, and every detail, every promise in scripture is yours, and you complete the process of transferring it from your mouth to your heart, then it says you will be saved. Now let's go to verse 10. It says, "For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Now let's say, it said, "For the scripture said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." Now, let's now see the process of word that believing, where that believing that does not allow shame to come. Verse 13, it says, "The word, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It said, "How shall we call on him whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent?" Okay. So if you are going to be saved concerning any situation and experience God in every situation, the word will be sent to you. And how does it send to you? You pray, God shows you what you prayed for in scripture. Okay, so the seed must be sent. When God is not able to get that to you, he says, go to church so that the scripture can be delivered. Do you get it now? So you find a word, so they have to be sent. Messengers have to be sent. So you receive the word. Your teacher begins to teach. You find a word, you just stumble on messages that seem to be explaining the process, the things going on in your life. So you see that the word, a preacher, the word is sent to you. A preacher comes to teach it, and as you're listening to the word tonight, to teach it and explain it. And what happens to the word, then you hear. Okay? When you hear, then you believe. And when you believe, your mouth speaks. So now it is a process of word that involves your mouth. You have to speak. So the process is the word. So we understand the fact, the word, but this level of confession, I'm taking it a bit deeper today. You see, that scripture says the word, it says in your mouth, in the mouth of God, and then in your own mouth. Now, what is the process of that? Don't forget the process. The goal is that we want to get the thoughts into your heart, and it has to come through your mouth. But it is not just speaking, but it is a contemplative process, a very imaginative process. It's a very thoughtful process. So what happens if you do this process, the word, it causes a reaction of light within you and concerning the things that God said. So you have the experience of that thing within you, taste of that thing before you actually taste of it. Open your Bible to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. I like to read verse 5. The Bible says, let your conversation be without corrections, and I be content with such things as ye have. For he had said. Now let's see what he said. If you're reading from your Bible, he says, he has said the word, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. It says, so that we may now boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear. What shall man do unto me? Let's go to that process again. God said something. The people said something. But they did not say exactly what God said. But they said the insight that was contained in what God said. I repeat. Isaiah 59 says, the word that I speak put in your mouth shall be in your mouth. So God come from God's mouth and my mouth. Hebrews 13 says the word God said, and then we will now say. But then we are not saying exactly what God is saying word for word, but then we are communicating the insight that what God said brings to us. Are you following now? We're saying exactly what God said brings to us. So it is not the exact words, but it is the insight, that word, that God gives to the man. Now, if you open to Proverbs 13 as well. Proverbs 13, just a minute, please. Go to Proverbs chapter 13. The Bible says there, it says, a wise son heareth his father's instruction, but his corner heareth not rebuke. It says, a man shall heed good, but... Thank you. It says, a man shall heed good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressor shall heed what violence. So, it says, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Now, so what you see there, it says the word, verse 2, the experience of the man is determined by the word they are saying. And I've said to you, there's no point praying for a person. There is no point interceding for a person whose words have not changed.
So let's say the word, you want to pray for someone, you want to intercede for someone. The first thing you need to do is to take control of their mouth. You need to take control of what they are saying, because word, you cannot pray into their lives what they have not been confessing. If a man is speaking negatively, don't pray. All you need to do is get them to change what they are saying. If you can get them to change what they are saying, you can get them to word to experience what you are interceding for them. But without that, it is a waste of time to pray for someone whose mouth you have not taken control of. So you are complaining about a country where you live in. You complain about your spouse. The only words you speak are evil things about your spouse. The only things you speak are evil things about your experience. There is no prayer anybody can pray for you that will get answered. Because by a man's word is justified, by a man's word is condemned. So when I'm leading people, the first thing I want to, when I'm trying to walk with people, maybe mentor people, sometimes I create confessions for them. Because it's going to waste my time, it's going to waste your time, it's going to waste the time of heavens. If we keep walking into you when your words have not changed. So as long as the words have not changed, the experience cannot be different. So you experience the tongues. So you find the word, it says here, the word, God said something in that Hebrews 13. It says, then we may now boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. So the response was not the exact same words God used, but the context, the meaning of the word that was sent. So we are to speak it, and we're going to practice it in a few minutes. We are to speak it in comprehensible ways. Okay? You speak it in comprehensible ways. But then it has to come to pass by moving your lips. I repeat, it has to come to pass by moving your lips. So I want you to think about this process as a mouth-to-mouth resuscitation process. It's like a mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. God in your mouth and then you speaking forth. That's the process. It's a mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. It comes in from God's mouth. Your mouth is involved. It must be involved. If life will come to someone in any situation, you must go through what I would describe as a divine mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. God speaks to your mouth. You also use your mouth in the process, and then the life comes forth. Do you follow now? So the third thing is the word. Once you have been able to establish this, and we're going to practice it. Now, once you have been able to establish this, then you can will it to pass. Okay? You can work. You can will it to pass. I repeat. Once it comes from the mouth of God to your mouth, and it goes through this process, you can do what? You can will it to pass. I repeat, you can do what? You can, you should, in fact, you should will it to pass. Because after the Bible says that, well, whatever you desire, when you pray, believe you, and you will have them. So you will them to have them. Let me use that word that way again. You will them to have them. Once God has said it, and you can go through this process, you will have to apply the force of your will to bring them to pass. I get them down. So let me just, before we get into a practical session, what's going to happen is the word, this man understands the fact of the word, first, you are a people person. You've got to be a people person. When you get to become a peaceful person, a people person, you understand the fact of the word, that is the bottom line. The second thing is that word, your lips will wither. And then you are fluid with the Holy Spirit. No prior mindset, no ideologies, nothing. Your word, your wills do not come into things. You are fluid with the Holy Spirit. Where it says you move, you move. When it says you move, you just fluidity. Are you following that now? And then you now begin to understand the process, the word. It is from the mouth of God to my mouth, meaning the word. Based on those first three qualifications, you can now receive what God has to say. And then you now go through this process, which is contemplative. You speak and you are reflecting. And secondly, it is a mouth-to-mouth process. You experience it in the process, and then you speak it in comprehensible terms. And based on that, your word, it gets into your mouth. Let's go into a scripture. Let's go into a scripture. I'm going to use a popular scripture that people use. Okay? Jesus said in the book of Matthew, it says, these signs shall accompany those who are called by my name. So I'm going to go to that scripture. Please go to that scripture. I want to show you how to work it out. Now go to Mark 16. Let's see how it goes. Let's say you prayed and God ministers to you from Mark 16. Now, I want to go through that process. Now, I'm going to read from verse 9. Listen to me how I go through it. Okay? Just follow me how I go through it. Now, don't forget that what it is contemplative. I have to imagine. And the process, I have to experience that thing. So, and I said that what you are most likely going to word, going to close your eyes. But the first thing you have to do is a word. Before you get into this person, you will first read that scripture. And don't forget, it is the mouth of God with your mouth. So you first read it out loud. I repeat, you receive the word, you read it out loud, being contemplative, and while word, imagining what you are saying. Contemplative, and then imagining what you are saying. So it is not fast. You read first. You receive the word of God, not what everybody's saying. You receive the word of God. You are not fast. You are reading to be thoughtful about the process. Then once that is done, we now word. Don't forget the Bible says that Hebrews 13:5 says a word. It says, for God said, and we shall boldly say. So we now say it in comprehensible terms. It says, and these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with tongues. So we want to go through the process. Now just follow after me. And these signs shall follow me that believes. In the name of Jesus, I cast out devils. I speak with new tongues. I take up serpents. And if I drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt me. I lay my hands on the sick and they recover. Now, when you go through this process, if you were following through, for example, when you go to that part where it says you cast out devils, doesn't mean you have a demon, it could be as well. But you may just find the word, if you may just have imagined yourself enter a place where somebody is just not uncomfortable, just uncomfortable when you show up. So they just leave. Now you are just imagining. Then it says the word, if they drink any ungodly thing. So in that process, I probably imagine, and I actually did imagine, myself while I was speaking, drinking something, and while I was speaking just now, imagine myself drinking something, and someone says, that thing was poison. I said, really? Was it? Because they expected something to happen, but it didn't happen. They get a point now. Now, if you are speaking this, you then close your eyes. Because I believe, unless I see my politician, a Nigerian politician, because I believe that I cast out devils. Now, that is scripture, but that is not what you're supposed to do. You are now supposed to say it in your own words, comprehensible terms. So I can then say, when I went into political meetings, it turned out that people who are supposed to antagonize my emotions were not present. And so I succeeded moving the motion that has caused schools to be established for the poor citizens of Abeokuta South local government area. When I spoke, I spoke in such a way that everyone said, we have struggled to convince the men and the people. But it looks like when you showed up, you convinced them, and we do not know how you did it, but we know they accepted what you had to say. Now the other one says, if they shall take up serpents. Now serpents are evil people. But is that what he has given you power over snake and scorpion. So serpents are what? Evil people. Okay? So here you say something like this. When I assumed office, all the evil people that have always robbed the people and opposed motions years before that made it impossible for these people to have schools, I removed their hands from the control, got the requisite approvals, and have now been able, or was now able, to establish the schools. Or they say these schools were established because God gave me the wisdom to silence and remove from control the people who had hitherto frustrated every previous attempt to establish these schools in this local government. Do you get a point now? So it says the word, when the word, they drink any deadly thing, they shall not hurt them. So in the process, when I went for the meeting and they had tried to poison my drink because I was a threat to the money they had embezzled years before, I noticed that months after the meeting, every one of them kept on looking at me in amazement. And I kept on wondering until one day one came and said, you know, the drink you took 7 months was poison. And I said, I did not even know. You get a process now. And it says, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Therefore, projects that they had tried to do and did not work, I was assigned to them. And through divine wisdom, they began work. And we have now recorded a budget increase of $55 billion based on the simple truths that God has taught me in order to fix that system. Do you get the process now? So you are speaking in comprehensible terms. And the Bible says the word shall not return void as far as the thing for which it was sent. So you are speaking those words, understanding what it was sent to. Now, did you observe that while I was speaking in the past tense? And this is why I do that. The human mind has been researched and it has been shown that your mind does not understand the difference between a past experience. Okay? Your mind doesn't understand the difference between a past experience that you are telling, okay? A past experience and your reality. I repeat. Your mind can't tell the difference. Let me repeat that to you. Your mind cannot tell the difference. The human mind, you can do the research, okay? The human mind cannot tell the difference between a past incident and something that is a reality. So based on that, when we do that, we bypass the mind. Are you following now? So the mind cannot, let me repeat this so you can get it. The human mind cannot experience, cannot separate past experience from word, from actually, from reality. And when I'm by reality, let me put it this way. The human mind cannot tell the difference between your past experience and your imagination. Let me just put it that way. Okay? A past experience and what your imaginations. So your mind can't interpret it, can't tell the difference. Okay? Science has proven that, well, when you imagine things and you tell something that's happened, the same neural pathways are activated. So your mind can't tell the difference. So when that's why you find out what sometimes people can run mad because of imaginations. So if you let people feed your heart with wrong imaginations, as far as your mind is concerned, that is your experience. So your mind can't tell the difference between your reality and imagination. So if you tell the story as a reality, as something that has happened, or you tell the story as you are imagining, your mind cannot tell the difference. So we tell it in the past tense, or you tell it in a very imaginative way. Your mind cannot tell the difference. So you, once you're able to do that, you bypass it. So you can either tell it in the past as something that's occurred, like you're telling a story. Okay? Or you are imagining it. Once that is happening, what happens is that what your mind picks it. The moment it settles in your heart, in fact, the moment it settles in your heart, you will stop worrying, you will praise God. And then it changes your whole attitude. It changes how you look at that thing from that going forward. Because as far as your mind is concerned, we have gone past this issue. Even though it's still in front of you, we have gone past this issue. So as you praise God, the Bible says that what to him that has, it shall be given. So when you have, it is word, it is given. So once you're able to possess the mind that way, the mind considers it as something that has been had. You get the process now. And then as you praise God, you will praise God as a finished product. And what happens is the word, your mind can't tell the difference. You just move on. And that's how it works. So let's go over this again. So you're going to have to do this yourself over time. Just practice it. Go to God about things. There are certain things you've received from God that you have not even gone through this process over. Take your time today and do the process. Just walk through the process and you find yourself experiencing word this life in a very tangible way. And as you praise God, you begin to experience the explosion of things. God bless you. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, thank you for this evening. Thank you for this beautiful time out in your presence with your word. I ask, oh God, that as we have received the word, you will cause the fruit of this word to be planted in our hearts and produce fruits in 30s, in 60s, and in 100s. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. God bless you, friends. See you tomorrow.